Welcome to Expanding Your Faith, a podcast hosted by Bishop Greer Godsey of the Old Catholic Churches International. Expanding Your Faith brings together a panel of well-educated clergy and laity to discuss modern events with a biblical perspective. Our podcast is about to start. Please stay tuned. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our season opener for Season 7 of Expanding Your Faith. I'm Bishop Greer, and joining me tonight is Bishop Ben.
Hello, greetings, Tom.
And Reverend Mark.
Good evening and greetings, everybody.
And so we are going to talk tonight about hope. There's been a lot of things happen over the summer. Even over the last month while we've been on break, that have caused a lot of people to despair, a lot of people to kind of lose their hope for the future. And so I want to kind of try to reassure people, you know, hope is important. Hope is necessary. I have to say, I like, there's one statement that former President Obama said years ago during his campaign, his first campaign. And he was accused by Republicans of giving people false hope. And he says, there has never been anything false about hope. You know, and I think that's very true. That hope, even sometimes if it's misplaced, is still not false. It is certainly something that helps keep us going, keeps us moving, keeps us willing to better ourselves, to better our communities, to better the world around us. And so I think it's important that we keep that hope alive. And so I want to kind of talk about that tonight while we have these eminent biblical scholars here with me. And they can kind of help shed some light on that as well. So, Reverend Mark, we'll start with you, your thoughts on hope as we open up this evening.
Well, like you, I think hope is an extremely important part of not just the life of somebody who is a Christian, but us people that are people in general. Hope enables people at times to get up and move forward when everything around them is speaking to them and saying, you know, there's no need to get up, there's no need to move forward, there's no need to try again or try the first time. Proverbs 13:12 is pretty cut and dry when it says hope deferred, hope put off, hope kept at bay, hope kept at arm's length or kept away from you, makes the heart sick. And that's something I'd like to get into, you know, kind of later down the road, later in the broadcast. But a lot of times people talk about hope and expectations in people and others, and you know, how they stop doing that because people let you down often. But the word hope throughout Scripture, and the easiest way to talk about it is an expectation. There's an expectation for the future. There's an expectation of a desired outcome. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, plans of good, for and not of evil, to bring forth an expected end. Some translations will say hope for a hopeful end, or expectation. You can say use both. But it's so important for us to be able to wake up in the morning with the expectation for good, the expectation and the hope for a brighter day than we had yesterday. And I think a lot of people lose that when they start checking their surroundings so and taking to heart that, well, not everything's going according to plan, or not everything has turned out the way that I had envisioned. And my response to that is, yet. It hasn't gotten there yet. Some things take a little longer to cook, if you will. You know, it's easier to make a sandwich or a grilled cheese sandwich than it is a Thanksgiving turkey. Some things have to cook longer. And there are certain things in our lives that we have to embrace and spend some time waiting for them to come, but they will come.
Absolutely. That is very, very true. And one of my favorite verses is Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Yep.
And the evidence of things not seen. And what that basically means is that without hope, you can't have faith.
That's right.
There is no faith. And so in order to have faith, you have to have hope first.
Yeah.
And that faith comes out of that hope. Bishop Ben, your thoughts?
Piggyback, you know, there's another scripture for that that covers hope is Jeremiah 29:11, where he says that he gives well-being and hope for life.
Right.
You know, it means a lot. You know, to have hope in your heart and your soul gives you more energy to help you move forward in your daily life. And it all depends on how you're gonna look at the word hope. You know, it can be an optimistic word. You know, for me and for the people I talk to, you know, I tell people you need to have hope in your life to give you the energy to move on during the day and during your daily struggles and trials and tribulations about life.
Well, and hope helps us to paint pictures towards those things that we have to, that we need to embrace. Those things that are a part of our lives, those things that are part of our calling, our assignments, our future. And, you know, having, you know, I have a, I have a hope and an expectation for a desired, you know, outcome, a picture for my life to grow in a certain area. And it doesn't necessarily mean that everybody that's a part of my life will live up into that picture. It's not that I'm trying to push somebody out, but there are certain situations that, you know, move people out of my life and bring other people in. And a lot of times people put their expectations into people,
right,
helping to deliver the expected in versus the work of God on the inside of us, working through us to make that happen. And I think there's the difference, because a lot of times people go through life and we all get burned by other individuals and anger and hurt often come from dashed or unmet expectations. And so a lot of times people will give over into the mindset of, well, I'm just not going to hope anymore. I'm just not going to expect good from other people anymore. And I think the thing that we have to embrace more so than just hoping that folks will live a life of grace and live a life of good is that, in general, something good and gracious will happen. That is our hope. Whether it flows through a person or whether it flows through a particular individuals and so on. Because different people are at different stages of growth in life. Right. Different people are going through different things in life. They may not be up to the task of doing whatever, you know, we've placed expectations on. But it doesn't mean we give up on those people. It doesn't mean that we stop believing that God will work through them. But it's a generalized hope of life that, you know, it's not a denial of all the stuff that happens around us. We don't sit here and deny that there's conflict in political circles or churches or in the Middle East right now, because that's just not right. Our expectation and our hope is that peace will reign in all of those situations. We may not be able to see the desired outcome, but that doesn't mean we let go of it. We do everything we can on our end to see it come. We move in the direction of prayer, in the direction of things on our end, speaking and talking about the good, and that really helps keep that picture alive inside of us for an expectation of good and grace.
Right. And if we are putting our expectations on other people, our hope in other people, we are almost always going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
Correct.
You know, because the reality is that, you know, some people just can't live up to our level of expectation.
Right.
And one of the things that has been hardest for me to learn over the last several years is that while I may have hopes for someone that they're going to do whatever, they're going to live up to my expectation or live up to the expectation of the church or scripture or whatever, the reality is that I can't want that for them more than they do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so they have to want it as well. And for some people, they're just not that at that point in their life. They're not in that point in their spiritual walk to be able to live up to that. And So we have to learn to put our hope in something greater, in that what we call God, the Creator, that is unchangeable, that is unmovable. And that way, you know, we are then not disappointed. And I also want to point out that just because we hope for something doesn't always mean it's going to happen either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as Mark pointed out, you know, sometimes those things are just not going to happen. And a lot of people say, well, you didn't pray hard enough. You weren't living right. You weren't living a life of faith enough. No, sometimes God's answer is no.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
You can pray all day long for a puppy, but God knows that you're not able to take care of that puppy.
Right.
So why is he going to give you that puppy for you not to take care of and for it not to be loved and everything?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've had a lot of Christians who say to me, oh, I'm praying that God brings the right spouse into my life, the right person to be my spouse. And sometimes the answer is no at that time because you're not ready for that person.
Right.
You're just not ready. And so you have to learn and grow and develop to a point to where you are ready for that blessing to come into your life. And then you most certainly can receive that blessing.
Right.
But you have to be ready for it.
Yeah, and a lot of times where we mess up is where we get to the expectation that someone is going to live up into something very specific in life. Like, you know, we have the expectation that this person is going to fulfill my vision for them versus we hope and we have the expectation that they will fulfill their purpose and their assignment in life. We, you know, a lot of times as spiritual leaders, sometimes we can catch glimpses of those that we mentor, those that we pastor, those that we oversee, and we can catch glimpses of some of the things that they're capable of. We have to be very careful not to assign their role from us versus their role that was placed inside of them, the thing that they're supposed to do. And you know, when we're giving it over into other individuals, our expectation and our hope for them is that they fulfill their assignment And, you know, a lot of times when I'm praying for people, it's always, God, let them fulfill their call, their assignment, because the Almighty knows what that is better than I do.
Right. Exactly.
I like what Riley said here. Hope and faith are very different in many ways. I can hope for a situation to change, but if you don't put your faith in God to handle the situation, how do you expect it to change? And that's very true. You know, that's why I was saying, you know, we have to put our hope, our faith, and faith and hope go hand in hand, in God to handle some of those situations that we're just not capable of handling. That there's nothing we can do to make it better. And so we have to rely on God to intervene.
Exactly. And, you know, the thing, too, you have to think about, too, is how you prepare your heart for that, to receive that instruction from God. You know, you have to prepare your heart to receive that, you know. You have to open it up, open up your heart and say, you know, here I am, I'm ready to receive your instruction, Lord.
Right.
And go with that.
Right. And sometimes, you know, it's a matter of timing. You know,
correct.
God is waiting for us to say, look, I can't do this. You have to handle it. A friend of mine once said to me, and I think it's very true. A friend of mine once said to me that when you put something in God's hands, leave it there. Don't take it back. You know, I had a bad habit in the past. I would put something in God's hands, and then I'd be like, no, let me fix it instead.
Or leave it there for a minute.
All right. You're not doing it fast enough. Here, let me try. You know, and sometimes when you're asking God to change someone's heart or help them understand their calling or their role or their place, that takes time. That's not something that's just going to happen overnight. It's not like they're going to get visited by three ghosts in the middle of the night and their whole life is going to change the next day, you know. And so it's going to take time for that spiritual evolution to happen so that they can then be in that place where they need to be. And so you have to let the Holy Spirit, let God work in that person's life, and that takes time. And for some, in some respects, patience plays a role here too, because you have to be patient that it's going to happen, and it's going to happen in God's time.
We often forget the journey that we had to go on, the
right.
things that we had to do to get where we are. And I see people lose that sight of, you know, the progress that we have made in our own personal lives. Mm-hmm. And then we see somebody younger, not necessarily age-wise, but just younger or less experienced or ignorant of certain things. We've told them to do this, or, you know, why aren't they just getting it? And it's like, well, you know, I didn't get it the first time either. Very few of us get certain things the first time either. And so
right.
we have to be, our expectation also has to be married with having grace towards other people, having grace towards ourselves. You know, whether we're on the journey trying to obtain those goals in our lives, those things that we have a desire for, we also have to give ourselves grace to get there,
right.
as well as other people.
Right.
You know, it's hard when you have a vision in your heart and a thing that, oh, I know I'm supposed to do this. I know I'm supposed to be this person or do this thing, and you're not there. But you see it and you know it. And, you know, you need to be working on some stuff. You know, you need to grow in some things. Have grace, have patience, and allow yourself to mature. If you're
yes.
moving towards it, that's the important part. Are you moving towards that thing that you're expecting to happen in your life? If you're not, then that's another discussion entirely. But if you're moving towards something, whether you're taking a step, a run, or you're falling in the general direction of it, at least you're moving towards it.
Right.
Have patience, because you never know when you are about to cross that finish line. We often don't know when I think that's the thing that God keeps from us, is where the finish line is.
Right.
But all of a sudden you'll walk into something and you're like, oh, yeah, this is where I'm supposed to be. Just like when I stepped in to do the thing that I'm doing now with MCC, it's like, oh, this is exactly what I was supposed to be doing, and it happened when I was least expecting it.
Right.
It happened when I wasn't, you know, working towards it as far as, oh, I need to do that, I need to do that. I was just being who God had me to be and growing. And I never lose patience and grace towards yourself and towards others who are on their journey growing.
I think it's a very important point you bring up, Reverend Mark, and that is another situation I think a lot of people find themselves in, is one where we don't give ourselves enough grace. You know, we're so hard on ourselves, and sometimes that comes out, we're being hard on other people around us. You know, because we see things in them that we dislike in ourselves, or that we feel need to change in us, and so we take it out on them because we see that in them too. And so we have to give ourselves a certain amount of grace to understand we're not perfect. And as long as we're living on this plane of existence, we're not going to be perfect. You know. And so we have to be willing to say, okay, I did my best today. Tomorrow I will try to do better. You know.
Well, and you'll have people that'll jump in there and say, yeah, but the Bible says that we should move towards perfection and we should move towards being perfect. Well, that word actually is a continual maturing process.
Right.
When you study out that word perfect, it's actually a process of maturing and growing. God constantly wants us to grow.
That's right.
You know, we achieve certain things and, you know, we do great things, but we can always grow and do more. We can always grow and take a step and do it a little bit better, with a little bit more excellence or whatever. And versus, you know, the perfection that we think is everybody's always going to be on their game, the top of their game all the time, anywhere they are, no matter what they're going through. And that's not reality. That's not the expectation from God.
Right.
And that's beyond, you know, there's only one person that could do that, and we're not that person.
Right.
And so that is we're constant. You know, Isaiah talks about us being trees planted by the water. That would be in different passages of scriptures, talks about the trees being planted in God. That word, that particular word tree, is the oak. It is an oak tree. And, you know, trees always dig deep until they die. They keep digging, going deeper until they die. And if you know anything about an oak tree, the root system is, if you were to take an oak tree and flip it upside down from the root system and turn the root system upside down to where we could see it versus what we see on the surface, the root system is bigger,
right,
than what you see on the surface.
Right.
Which we should always have depth inside of us, and the things going inside of us, there should be more going on inside of us than what people see.
Sure.
That's a good point, because you think about the like you think about the tree, right, Mark? You know, for me, that rings home, because I remember way before I met Richard Gregg and founded the church, I was losing hope, and I was despaired, because, like, well, God, what am I going to do now? So I asked God to show me the way, and he led me to Richard Gregg. So in a sense, he gave me great hope, and he told me, you know, I had to trust in him to find me the correct path. So I mean, you know, the root, the talking about roots, you know, it means a lot deep on how to have deep roots. So I understand what you're saying with that. It's a good point.
When we had, we watched the other night a documentary called I Am Not Your Negro by James Baldwin.
Yes.
Who is an activist, an author, and everything back during civil rights. And one of the things that stuck out to me in it was Martin Luther King Jr.'s never-ending hope. You know, he had this hope, even in his mountaintop speech. You know, I may not get there with you to the mountaintop, but I have been to the mountaintop, and I have seen the promised land. You know, he saw what was coming and what could be, and even though he knew he wouldn't make it there with them, he still had that undying hope that someday they would get there. And, you know, that's the kind of hope that we're talking about, is that hope that we can make it another day. And King is the one who notoriously said, if you can't run, walk, if you can't walk, crawl, but whatever you do, keep moving forward. That was a King statement. And that was his motto. A lot of people don't realize Dr. King had a tremendous amount of depression. He was prone to depression. And the story is told by some of the old-timers here in Augusta that his last time here in Augusta, he was faced with a tremendous and overwhelming sense of foreboding. You know, when he left, he was meant to come here and speak at Tabernacle Baptist Church, one of the largest African-American churches in Augusta. When he landed, they arrived to tell him that the FBI had come and pressured the pastor at Tabernacle, which was Reverend Moss, I believe it was at the time, to not allow King to speak. And so Tabernacle withdrew the offer for him to come speak. And he found that out sitting at the tarmac here in Augusta. And he sat for an hour and a half on the plane, just in absolute despair. And the people here in Augusta all went to Beulah Grove Baptist Church to wait for him. And they waited an hour and a half. Every last one of them waited an hour and a half for him to show up. And he came and he gave his last speech here in Augusta. A week later, we now know he would die. And you could hear that in even his talk that night, that he knew what was coming. He was going to Memphis to die. And you could really tell that in some of the things he said. But he still reinforced that message of hope, even in the midst of his utter depression, his foreboding feeling. He still gave that message of hope, that the movement would continue, progress would be made, that God was looking after them, and God would see them to completion. That he never wavered on. And that was amazing to me. One of the local news stations a couple of years ago found a lost recording, audio recording of his final speech here. And it's just amazing to listen to. But it's also a message to us that we can never give up that hope. And so many of us struggle with those dark nights, as St. John of the Cross called them, the dark night of the soul, that foreboding, that depression, that anxiety, that, you know, being stuck in the past, not being able to move past traumatic things that have happened to us. But the reality is that every morning we wake up is a new opportunity to crawl towards that goal. And I think that it's important that we continue crawling towards that goal no matter what. And even if all you accomplish in a day's time is getting out of bed and brushing your teeth and getting dressed you have done something. And that's important. That is so very important. And all of us struggle with that. You know, I'm reminded that 75% of clergy deal with depression and mental health issues in our country. 75%. So one out of, I mean, essentially two out of every 4 minutes, or three out of every four ministers you meet have depression or some form of mental health issue. And yet every Sunday we get up and we try to deliver a message of encouragement, a message of love, a message of hope to the people around us. And it doesn't make us like superhuman or anything. It just means that we still stand on that faith and that hope that we have, that no matter what we're going through, God is bigger. That's right. And God will get us through it.
Yeah, and because we often deal with everybody's expectation of what the pastor should do and the pastor. And so if you have 100 people in your congregation, you've got 100 different ideas of everything that the pastor has to live up into. And, you know, it's very difficult to keep your eyes on what you know we need to hear and the things that you have in your heart to share. And then you hear all those expectations coming through of people, and then when they're not met, oftentimes people get upset and they leave, and your heart breaks for those people. But you have to keep your eye on that message that God places in your heart, encourage the people each and every day, and have the expectation and the hope that they will catch the vision that God has for them.
Absolutely. I think this is also a good time just to kind of remind people. I embarrassed Reverend Mark last Sunday. But to remind people, it's also a Clergy Appreciation Month, October is. And, you know, one of the things that a lot of clergy don't get is encouragement. And so if you have a clergy person in your life that means a lot to you, that has helped you out, has been there for you, take a moment to say thank you to them, you know, and to your friends as well. Thank them for being there, for helping you through dark times, for helping you in the midst of your dark nights. Because you know what, as a friend of mine used to say, or says all the time, Lonzo says all the time, it might be the bridge that gets them from now until the next time you see them. So that's very important. We're going to cut the podcast here. I think we've talked a good deal about hope tonight. And so we're going to cut it here and be back next Saturday night with our next podcast. I hope you all will join us then. Until then, God loves you and so do we. Keep shining bright, my friends. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Expanding Your Faith. For more information on Expanding Your Faith, check us out on facebook.com/Expanding Your Faith. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and wherever you find your podcasts. Until next week, when we once again attempt to expand your faith, keep shining bright.